Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very special episode of Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave. It's more Eric talking to Dave about something serious, something tragic. Dave Pacella had a set at Bellaria Pizzeria where we had a very long running, about 9 months, not very long running then, I guess, a series of successful, moderately successful shows at the Bellaria Pizza in Cornersburg. I was not there that fateful night. So this is my first time hearing this. Dave Pacella had a 10-minute set that, well, I think it's best if you just let Dave explain it.
It didn't go very well.
Cribbly Tape, we all remember, one of the lowest points in the history of stand-up comedy. This might equal even be greater than that. Pacella Bellaria. It was a cold night and a month that I don't remember.
September, maybe?
So, it was a crisp fall air.
It's a nice night out.
How was the crowd?
Shorts and a t-shirt.
How was the crowd? I mean, size-wise.
Decent.
Decent-sized crowd.
You can't tell from the audio.
Which, we did, Bellaria went well for, that was early in the run. We were getting pretty good crowds consistently on Fridays. People came out, they wanted some pizza, they wanted some laughs, but that's not necessarily what they got. I mean, they got pizza. You had nothing to do with that. You couldn't slap the pizza out of their hands, for God's sake.
I probably could have, and it had gotten a better laugh than any of my material.
Yes. So you went up first, correct?
I did go up first.
Right. After, no, I was not there that night.
No.
I usually hosted. I had another show somewhere. I really only missed 3 or 4 out of the 9 month run. Missed it. I sprayed a light mist throughout the crowd so that the lasers would show up better. But I was not at this show. It was hosted by Chris Weinman, who did a good job warming him up, in your opinion?
Not really.
Okay.
You could tell the crowd was not going to be. It was a crowd. I think they all worked at a drive through lottery stand.
Okay.
Or something.
There's one right down the street in Cornersburg.
Yes. Middle-aged women that you can tell never get out of the house and wanted to make sure people knew they were out of the house tonight.
I understand.
So they were kind of heckling the host and then tried to continue that on, but I don't really respond to hecklers. I don't really. I pretend the crowd's not there.
A lot of crowds, especially in this area, I feel. This happens a lot at a funny farm on a Saturday night. They're kind of middle-aged couples. They are out, presumably to have a good time, and yet they don't seem to be willing to. It's a lot of stone-faced, cross-armed, all right, you gonna make me laugh kind of stuff. On top of heavy drinking, and hey, I'm funny too, let's throw this out.
Yeah, and I haven't listened to this back.
I've never heard it.
I have not listened to it back. Your dad had sent me the video and the audio, and I have not listened because I wanted it to be here. So I don't remember what all material I did. I know there were a couple moments to where I realized these people don't want to hear anything even remotely offensive. So I pulled out some other stuff that I probably wasn't going to do that night, especially going first. This is preface. I should never go first.
Yeah.
It's not I'm too good to go first thing. It's I don't set the tone good for a room.
No.
I do what I do, and that's exactly what I'm doing. You don't want me to set the tone.
No, you're a somewhere in the middle guy. Were you pacing? Because you paced a lot.
I can't remember if this was. Yeah, I mean, I always did.
Now, when's the last time you did stand-up? Was it this?
It might have been this.
So this might be. And this was at least two years ago.
2.5. I think it'll be 3 years in September.
Yeah.
And the thing is the night before we all did Bellasina, which was basically just us laughing at each other.
Yeah.
And
no
I
one
did
was
about
there.
I did about 20 minutes that night.
Yeah.
That I thought went well. You laughed. You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. So did Matt Lillard was there, and I think Shane, and that was it.
Yeah. So there were
people at the bar.
There were a couple people
weren't.
That from my past that showed up randomly. That was awkward because they were from a point in my life where. Though they shouldn't mix, but I did some new stuff, some stuff that by the time it got here was only the second time I was doing it, And I opened with some of the new stuff, so maybe that wasn't my best bet.
There's a lot of suggestion. You're not supposed to open with something new.
You're not supposed to open with... what I opened with was new, and it was a bit. Like, it wasn't, mm-hmm. like... There was no quick jokes in it.
Yeah, see, that might be where you misstepped. Because
and then I could never get them back.
You want to open something quick.
Yeah.
Unless you have the confidence that you could throw something out there and get them back anyway.
I think I was more confident about dinosaurs fucking... than I should have been. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's an excellent concept. Let's get this underway.
I'm ready to cringe because I've not heard this. I don't know what this material is.
This first comedian has a really hilarious web show called crap, now I forgot the name. And I've seen it before.
That's how funny it is.
Well, that right there. Not the best intro. No offense, Wineland, but
that's how funny the web series is. Okay. He couldn't even remember the name of it.
Does he remember? Well, not, don't spoil it for
Chicago,
me.
Chicago, Ohio. I'm so sorry.
Oh, he got it.
Okay, this next comedian, he's in a web show called Juggalo Ohio. And please give it up for Dave Pacella.
That's a good, they're enthusiastic. They're clapping for you.
Very beginning of the show. I'm ready to lose that right.
Now hold on.
So,
you
here.
I didn't even invent a time machine.
You didn't even say anything yet, and they're already laughing.
Yeah. So because she said something.
Oh, okay.
The fat middle-aged bitch. No.
Oh.
She was one of the drunk old bitches there. She had said something.
So I can go back in time and see what it was like when dinosaurs fuck. Well, that's kind of worded wrong. I can picture what it's like when dinosaurs fuck. They're naturally aggressive creatures. There's probably lots of roaring and growling. Probably very, like, loud, aggressive, violent, angry sex. You know, the kind of sex black people have. There's nothing wrong with that. But,
that's what I mean. That's that's the most tame thing. And I got it. Ooh.
That went from no one listening to everyone hating you.
Yeah.
In a
like
split
that.
Second.
Disinterest
would have been better, because at least they were talking amongst themselves.
Oh, yeah. They were ordering. I heard a Captain and Coke in there. Like,
now they're all focused on you, and they do not like you.
Yep. I mean, I like my reaction. That's pretty much the only time I respond to the crowd. It's like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, what is wrong there?
Black people have aggressive sex, much like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I can't picture is how dinosaurs make love. Like, I can't picture Mr. Stegosaurus coming home and Mrs. Stegosaurus fixes his favorite dinner and lit candles and has Barry White playing in the background and they kiss for a little bit and then they foreplay and they have some 69 and then they make love as one, their hips in sync until they ejaculate together and fall asleep in each other's arms thinking, life is perfect. I can't picture dinosaurs doing that. I try to, but then they just always end up fucking. That's why I need the time machine.
Okay.
I'm reaching there. Like, that's...
You lost them again, and then they came back and groaned some more.
Because I added the... Like, I didn't need the... That's why I need the time machine isn't supposed to be there, but I felt like they needed reminded what I was talking about.
This is the premise.
Yeah. So that's... Admittedly, not the best opening bit. It's not joke-heavy. I like the premise, but it's...
The mental image of two stegosauruses, stegosauri, 69ing.
I like.
Because the bony backs.
And the whole.
And like a big bony circle.
The joke is I can't picture them, and then I detail exactly I want to picture.
Yeah. I think it was a little over
their
head.
It went over
heads.
Their head. Mm. I think a good intellectual dick jokes would be a good name for it because it's all dirty stuff, but I think it went over their head. Like, mm-hmm. That's the whole point of the bit is I describe it perfectly what it would look like and then claim I can't picture what it looks like.
I don't care if I admit that I think about dinosaurs fucking, though.
You're still sticking with
everybody
it.
Everybody in here, whether you'll admit it or not,
it's a segue.
Loves animal sex. If you don't believe me, have you ever been at the zoo when two animals start humping? It's like everybody's happy 9/11. Like, everybody's sharing it together. Like, the second a zebra starts humping another zebra, you have, like, the kids, they don't know what they're watching.
Get the host back.
I've heard horrible, and get the host.
Get the host back. We are at about a minute and 30
okay.
in.
But they know they're watching something special. They know they're never going to forget this. You have the moms. They don't want to explain it, but they're enjoying it. got the dads pumping their fists like, yeah, I'm glad I skipped football for this. It was worth it.
She got a bigger laugh.
Her comment of get the host killed.
The second time.
Yeah.
That's her second time saying it.
Well,
it killed her table.
The repetition.
Yeah.
That
was only from her table.
Now, at this point, how do you feel about the set? How is it going so far in Dave Pacella's mind?
I was looking to do about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm thinking, I'm going to be lucky to get 5. I haven't let the animosity set in yet.
Yes.
So I'm thinking like, all right, I'll steam through it. I'll cut out some of the stuff. Clearly, they don't want anything even remotely controversial. So at this point, like, I'm like, okay, they're not digging me. I'm just going to cut it off kind of quick.
Now, I appreciate that you're still in your mind thinking I can make this work. I mean, that's...
kind of.
Because I feel like if it were me at this point, I would have already, like, steered into the curve and just hate fucked them with comedy.
It's getting there.
Okay.
But I like reading about how other animals mate. There's some fish where the females will just lay eggs, and then the guys will come and just jerk off on the eggs.
No, I thought you said. I thought you said you were done with the offensive stuff.
I was cutting it back a little
bit. Oh, okay, all right.
This is animals.
Yeah.
Eggs, and it's like that's so awesome. I'm so jealous of those fish. Like, as a dude with 2 kids and a living girlfriend, I'll jump at any chance I get to jerk off. I don't care if kids come out of it. I just want to stroke my shit. But, plus, not to mention, you don't have to cuddle. You don't have to talk. You don't have to watch The Notebook. But then you have seahorses are the other end of that spectrum, where the male seahorses, they're the ones that carry the babies. So, essentially, male seahorses get pregnant. What kind of bullshit is that? Can you imagine if humans were like that? You would never run into a guy.
Now, the woman is pretty excited about the men being pregnant, so you got her on board with the concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have 48 condoms on them at all times.
One man, not one man.
Every girl, every
woman
would be like, no, let's not wear one tonight. The guy would just be like, no, it feels better this way. It's like, no, I want to feel you inside me. He's like, no, you know what? I'm just going to wear two. I'll just wear two. I mean, look at this. We're delicate. We can't ruin this.
She said, yes, she can. I don't know what that's related to.
I said, we're delicate, and I do the, like, showing my body.
Oh,
I said, you
okay.
Can't ruin this, because
yeah,
that's
yeah.
another part
All
of
right.
the joke.
Okay, well, she obviously didn't. She thought you were serious.
Everything went over their head.
And wanted to remind you that your body is terrible.
Because I mentioned, I mean, the whole thing there is, like, they're on board with the, oh, what if men get pregnant? And then the joke is, you'll never meet a man that doesn't carry condoms with him at all times. Yes, you would. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, she's bad at answering rhetorical questions.
Yeah. This is like the woman in Mine who didn't understand that Sarah McLachlan didn't really beat the fuck out of a dog in a commercial.
And that thought you misunderstood the commercial.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't understand that sometimes for comedic effect you will pretend that you didn't understand something or you will lie or exaggerate or say something funny.
We're 3:46 into this.
Yeah. Now, how long is this?
8:53.
Okay.
There's 5 minutes left. Is this a good way to start a night?
Now, you are the first comic.
Yes.
Now, Wineland has obviously warmed it up. He's the host.
Yeah. And Wineland, it's a funny... I like that Wineland hosted the show because he prides himself... He's a clean comedian. He's
yes.
a Christian comic.
Mm-hmm.
So the Christian comic opens for this.
Yes.
And I think I established right away that we're covering both ends of the spectrum here.
Mm-hmm. And your end of the spectrum is covered in animal jizz.
Yes. I think I'm done with the animals fucking
All right.
Up. I think I'm transitioning now, because what'd I just do?
The first three, dinosaurs fucking,
mm-hmm.
That was about seahorses fucking.
Fish jerking off on eggs.
Fish jerking off on eggs, which is how they reproduce.
Yeah.
Seahorses fucking. I think the other animals were fucking in between that somewhere.
Oh, there were zebras fucking.
Zebras fucked also, yes. Mm. So, okay, so animals fucking not going over.
Yeah. No.
So you're like, all right, I can get them back. And you go with...
When you pee, you should get checked out because you probably have something.
There's an STD joke?
The same rule doesn't apply when you shit. Because I'd be convinced I have every STD known to man.
Oh, they like that.
That's one of my first jokes I ever wrote that... At that point, because I used to, I mean, I don't know how much you saw me when I first, I used to be just like quick stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, STD, I thought was a good
wordplay. STD, that's clever wordplay.
Yeah, and that's a quick joke that I don't really do ever anymore. So I thought, okay, that's a quick one. I can kind of see where we're going.
You got them back. They laughed at that. They legitimately enjoyed that.
But I do not remember where I went after that.
Seriously, I shit most of a rainbow once. Luckily, Roy wasn't there, but G and Biff came to party.
Your dad liked it. Okay. I got too smart for him.
That's a good shit, but it's a very smart shit joke.
It's a very smart shit joke.
My dad loves it. I don't know. Someone groaned again, which I don't understand.
I shit most of a rainbow. After I just
they
said
were
I
in had... the shit most of a rainbow. They enjoyed that, but then they didn't get the Roy G. Biff part. Which, by the way, I had to explain that to my dad. He gets it now.
He gets it now. He laughed then. But I'm the one.
But I think I explained it to him before that. The first time I heard it, it took me a second.
That was always my favorite part about that joke, is that I'd always give it a second because it didn't always sink in. I heard you try to tell it on the Laugh Track show about a month ago, and Shane just yelled out the punchline.
So I like stereotypes are silly to me because they don't make any sense. But my favorite stereotypes are gay men. Because gay men have the absolute best...
That was another groan.
Another groan.
Yeah.
Because they're not even willing to listen to what I say.
Yeah.
Like, in their head, I'm making fun of gay guys here. Like, in their head, this is an attack on gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you listen to the setup, it's not. And if you listen to the rest of it, it's not. But in their head... I am making fun of gay men here.
That's the problem when you don't have a captive audience. If they're talking amongst themselves,
they're just hearing gay men.
They just they hear something in the. A guy almost fought Jesse Huber one time because he was doing like a gay joke at the Milo's. He stood up. It was like this redneck dude. He stood up in the bathroom and said, "My son's gay." And like almost kicked his ass. And I thought he was going to whoop his ass in like defense of gay rights. But then Jesse talked to the guy later, and I guess the problem was that he reminded Jesse of his own shame. Like, he went out drinking to forget his gay son, and he got so angry when he was... So, that was a thing.
Yeah, so that's they hear gay, and they think it's automatically an attack.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about our society.
If you have... People are paying attention. They'll play along with you. If they
just like I said, black people.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad joke about black people. There's no way you can find that offensive, I don't think.
Mm.
And they just because I said black people, they like, ooh, like I'm saying it just for a rise. Just like here, I said gay men, not for a rise. It leads into the bit.
Now, do you think these people knew about the show or they were just coming out for dinner?
I think they knew about the show.
Because that was the only night the dining room was open, was comedy night on Friday at the Bellaria.
Yeah.
So it's not like a thing where you're at a bar show. And
I mean, there were posters everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you came for the comedy show. Yeah, you could order food and stuff, but...
Sometimes, if it's at a bar, people don't know there's a show, and that's not why they're there. So if they're talking, but you got to understand, they don't care about the comedy. They're here to hang out. But this is a situation where there is a comedy show here every week.
Another funny thing about this that I haven't, because last week, or Valentine's Day episode, we did Profiles in Jailbait.
It was rough. I felt a little disturbed for the first time.
Yeah. But to tie that into Bellaria... Was it the owner's daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was she there that night?
Front row with her mom.
Yeah.
Sitting right front and center.
Okay.
She's what, 13, 14?
She was very young and very attractive.
Yeah. Too attractive for how young she is.
Yeah, it was an issue.
But she's right there front and center.
And you're telling dinosaur
comic next to her
jokes.
Mom. Next to her mother. The wife of the owner of this establishment that I'm sullying.
Very nice people, and I hope they don't listen to this because
If they do,
I don't want them to know how hot I thought their very young
if
daughter
they do,
was.
You
want
to go to prom?
Stereotypes. There was a few months of my life where I lived with two random gay guys. And anytime I tell people, like, yeah, I live with two random gay guys, they'd always be like, oh, I bet it's a lot of fun and always super clean. And I always tell them, like, no, they're not flamboyant at all and they're slobs. And everybody says, oh, that sucks. Who else are people disappointed in when they're not meeting stereotypes? If I live with two Asian dudes and I say, yeah, they're really good drivers, they suck at math, and they have huge dicks, nobody is going to say, oh, that sucks. No! Everybody's going to say, good for them! Good for them! You found some of the good ones.
Now they're just kind of not listening again.
Yeah, I lost them again. At this point is
I think you can't really, with this crowd, do a long joke because they don't have attention span.
This is when I was transitioning into all I wanted to do were long jokes. Mm-hmm. At this point is about where the other comics that had to go on later got up and left the room.
Understandable.
Like, the closers and the other guys, they got up and actually left the room because it was just so uncomfortable. Like, the people that were paying attention hated it. And then everybody else just wasn't paying attention. So it was just an uncomfortable room. I wasn't going to do the next joke. And even sometimes...
You remember what the joke is?
After this, okay. Yeah. Because I wasn't going to do it. And a lot of times I word it differently. But I knew I would get a reaction if I worded it a little more harshly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another bit. But the punchline, I really... I upgraded the dirty level, I guess. Or the vulgarity of
it. No, at this point... You're just trying to get a reaction.
At this point,
you just
yeah.
want people to pay the fuck attention to you.
Yeah. At this point, I don't even give a fuck. Like, I'm knowing it's going bad, but in my head, it's funny because I'm just doing my shit and not catering to them at all.
Yeah.
So,
you're doing the set for yourself at this point. And even you're not really enjoying it.
Me and your dad. Because I look at your dad and your dad's laughing. So I'm enjoying it because he's enjoying it. It's still very uncomfortable, though.
I'm uncomfortable just listening to him.
Thanks, man. I also don't understand the outrage about gay marriage. Like, I don't see why anybody would be opposed to anybody marrying anybody. But if they were to make gay marriage mandatory...
I got a small clap.
Yeah, people were with you on the social point.
Yeah.
So I think one person was.
Yeah. A small clap and a whistle from very far away.
There's one person in the crowd somewhere who's with you. I can hear little laughters at the right points. So someone in that room...
Other than your dad. Yeah.
If they said everybody in this country has to get gay married, all right, I can understand you complaining. But if you think about it logically, just pick a friend. You'd have somebody to cook dinner for, somebody to watch movies with, somebody to talk about with your day. Like, yeah, it's still marriage, but it'd just be like living with one of your best friends. You'd just feel obligated to fuck him in the ass on his birthday and holidays.
Don't know.
Where do they think that joke was going?
It's not even a gay joke. It's a marriage joke. Like, it's not even anything about gays.
I honestly do not understand what is offensive about that other than the language.
Usually I don't use the fuck him in the ass. Usually I don't word it that strongly.
Yeah.
But I knew that would get them because I knew they weren't paying attention.
Well, at least you got a fucking reaction. Maybe I got, the only thing I can think of is they weren't listening at all and they heard fuck him in the ass and they were like, I'm trying to eat here.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear about ass play when you're eating a delicious spaghetti and meatball dinner.
I don't mind.
I don't mind either, but most people.
But I mean, that's like that reaction was long, and that's why I worded it so strongly.
It was a long, sustained oh.
Yeah, because I think it's still going on, and I still have almost 3 minutes left. Hold on. I think that was me saying, I don't know where to go after that to your dad. Like. I don't know. I'd have to watch the video, but that sounded like me saying, I don't know where to go from here.
Where do you? Yeah.
In my head, that could have been my closer. I could have just ended it. I'm about 5 minutes in. That's what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
But at this point, fuck them.
I feel like if you had ended it there, it still didn't go well. But at least you ended strong.
I ended strong.
It's not with a laugh, per se.
It's in my head.
But it's strong.
That I realize these people don't want anything remotely offensive. So mm-hmm. I in my head, know that I'm going to do
my... I love that you still think you can get them back.
No, I know I can't get them back. At this point, I've given up on getting them back. But I know they didn't like this, and I thought, oh, I can up it from here. And I have the one closer that I always do.
So now you're hate fucking them with comedy.
Yes.
That's my boy, Dave. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
So I have my regular closer that I always used to do. That I wanted to get to, but I didn't want to go right into it because I thought, you know, I can get a couple more minutes out of this.
Yeah.
Like, I doubt I can. I'm only about 5 minutes in. I don't think I can double it, but I think I can get some other shit in there.
It reaches a point when you're doing poorly that you oh, I'm not doing well. I can still salvage this. And then it's, fuck it. Yeah, and then you're fueled from that point on by contempt for the audience.
Yeah. And at this point, it's like, you're not paying attention. I want to do a bit where I'm going to yell.
Yeah.
So this bit wasn't initially... If I'd really wanted to fuck them, I would do the bit where I said the N-word.
Uh-huh.
I did not do that this week, this show, because I knew it would not go well. Yeah, that's one. That one I don't fuck around with. That one.
That's another one of those things where if they're not paying attention to you, it's not. And it's not an offensive joke.
It's a great. I love that joke. That's one of my favorite jokes.
But if you're not listening, and you just hear
someone,
I just
feel like they deserved it.
Yeah,
that was my thing. I think it's such a good joke. I don't think they deserved it.
If you just hear someone saying "nigger," you're just gonna.
Especially when it's "die nigger."
Yeah,
that's the yeah. It's like that's all they would have heard. So I. But the joke is too good for that to just get the reaction. Like. Because the joke isn't about that. I mean, saying that word isn't part of the joke.
What word?
That one. So,
I enjoy showers, more so recently in the past couple of years, because for some reason I didn't start until a couple of years ago.
They're against the concept of you showering at
this
point.
I know. I know.
Like a loofah? Like, you know what a loofah is? It's that sponge that's built to make get in any, like, nook and cranny and asshole that you don't want to go with your bare hand. And it's so awesome, it cleans you so deep. And sometimes my loofah cleans me so deep, I feel like I should press charges. But you have to pay extra attention in the shower when you're using a loofah. If you ever, like, reach for your shampoo, and you don't remember if you shampooed or you conditioned, your mind blanks for a second, like that you can survive. But you throw a loofah in the situation, it's a whole other animal. You're just cleaning yourself, and you're cleaning yourself deep. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, gotta wash my face. And then you stop for a second, you realize this is happening. And
at least they're on board with the bit.
Yeah.
They realize they that I was disgusting. Washing my ass, and now I'm washing my face with the same sponge.
Some of them are listening, and they're on board.
They're with me. They may not be on board with it, but they understand what's
going on. They understand
where
you're going, that which is better than pretty much everything that's preceded this.
Yes.
It sinks in that your life's never going to be the same again. It's like, no! And you're like cowering down, hoping the water will wash the shame off of you. But it can't. It never will. You're just screaming, and the Boy George is playing in the background, and you're just going, I just went ass to face! I just went ass to face!
And I've lost them already.
I get confused by the shampoo bottles when I shower.
Powering through.
A shampoo bottle, and they all say, this product not tested on animals. And I think, I have hair. Animals have hair. What's the problem here? Like, what are they doing with this shampoo that makes it such an issue? So I just like to picture the shampoo scientist the day this all happens. And it's just like, damn it. This shampoo washes hair just fine, but until I can run the proper test, its dog rank potential remains unknown. Damn it, PETA.
Hold on. That deserved a groan.
It got nothing. At this point, dog rape doesn't even get a reaction.
I mean, just the word, even if they're not paying attention, they're going to hear, and you're talking loud now, they're going to hear dog rape.
Yeah.
And the way they've been groaning.
Yeah, they've tuned me out completely.
I mean, what did they groan earlier? The concept of two men being married? What was it?
Butt fuck. Gay stereotypes they groaned at pretty loud.
Yeah, the concept of gay stereotypes they groaned at. You just said dog rape.
Yep.
And in the last minute, you've gone from everyone groaning to dog rape getting nothing.
Yep. And this is where I realized, like, if there were ever any doubt in my mind about doing my closer, it was gone. Because it builds off of dog rape. So, I know you've heard the joke, but I don't know if you know which one it is. But it's like, at this point, it's realized, like, I'm almost 8 minutes in. Yeah. I almost made the 10 minutes. I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to come back. They're not even getting the groans. Like you said, I don't even get a reaction for dog
rape. It's not even worth it to hate fuck them at this point.
No. So I'm just going to throw out my closer to make sure they fucking know that they just got hate fucked.
All right.
Because this is a hate fucking closer.
Damn you hippies to hell!
Are you still going?
This is awesome. But dog rape is kind of fun to say just because how it rolls off your tongue. Like, dog rape. But sadly, it's up there amongst the top of the list of things that are more fun to say than actually do. Like spelunking and fucking a nun.
Someone groaned.
You would think due to the tightness factor, fucking a nun would be awesome. But it's not. They just lay there motionless the whole time, crying out for their lord. And I have to be the one to break it to them. It's like, I'm sorry, sweetie. Your lord's not coming. But you know who is? Me. I'm Dave
Pacella. Is that just my dad clapping?
I think so. think that's just your dad clapping.
It's very loud because he. It's very loud because he has a mic by him.
And give it up for Dave Vasella. Silence. So that was my Belarus.
They were talking very loudly amongst themselves at the end, and I think what they were saying is, "Jesus Christ, is this fucking guy still going?"
Pretty much. Yeah, that's why I knew I wasn't going to get two more minutes out of it.
Do you feel bad for ruining those people's evening?
No, because little did they know, Aaron Norling was right after
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why you have Norling take the bullet, because you would have, after Norling, after it would have been better than
I
that.
I would have crushed. Yeah, so I'm pinning, I love your dad. Ooh. Your dad gets a lot of praise on this podcast. You don't put me in Norling 1 and 2.
If I had been there that night, I would have made sure that didn't happen.
So, yeah. So,
I feel like this is my fault now for having another show.
But, yeah, so Norling going after me makes people wish that I would come back up. And then Norling, of course, pinned it on me that he bombed because he actually
he doesn't
messaged,
understand
he
how
messaged your
a
dad
society.
About how people booed me. And he was kind of set up to fail. So
because he doesn't understand how social interaction works or how jokes work or how human beings behave.
This crowd wanted to be the show. Like if I would have engaged them and done crowd work, I probably could have got them.
Fuck crowd work.
I don't do that. I never have. Like I just don't like
I don't like it. I'm also bad at it, but I think people who can do it well, and some people can do it very well, and that's like the whole thing, then that's great. But a lot of times, just so. How long you been married? Yeah. Oh, something's funny about that. Maybe no. Yeah. Let's move on. How about you, folks?
Yeah.
How'd the rest of the show go?
It was pretty rough.
How did they recover from that double whammy?
It was pretty rough. The first one that did really okay was the British dude.
Oh, okay.
Milton Wiley.
Now that it's Milton Wiley's a different guy. Albert Milton.
Albert Milton. That's
now
it.
That's interesting because his whole act is hate fuck you with comedy.
He
hates everyone.
He was very, very crowd work.
Now, he does do it. Yeah, he does work with a crowd a lot.
He basically went right to
that
table and basically just catered to them specifically, which is all they wanted all night.
Okay.
Nobody else did that.
But knowing Albert, I'm sure it was fueled by seething contempt for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't. But they just wanted the attention. They just needed a comedy hug.
Mm-hmm.
They just needed acknowledged. They just wanted to be... They wanted it known that they were in the room, and when I didn't acknowledge them at all, that kind of they got bad. He was the first one to really like embrace them and use them as part of his act, which is all they wanted, and then that saved it a little bit.
So that's kind of how you make that kind of crowd work, is just by embracing their awfulness,
which I don't do,
and even directing the hate back to them.
Yeah, see, I hate fuck instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Albert's method is better. I'm gonna say that right
now. Oh, no, it worked a lot better. I'm not good at that. So, and then Savat, the crowd was okay for Savat, but.
Now, he has a lot of dirty shit, too.
It was people that didn't want dirty stuff. Like the table.
He's not super dirty.
The table next to us, the table next to where the comics were sitting, were clearly two people that expected a night of clean comedy.
Because
every joke about anything, they would just be like, why are they going to talk about that?
Yeah.
Like. Milton started telling a joke about jerking off. And he's like, see, why is he going to talk about that? And it's like, I don't even know where they were. Because to sum it up, those people were really friendly to me the beginning of the night. The two people at the table sitting next to us were talking to us. It's like, oh, so you guys are comics. Like, yeah, we do it. Like, I still have a job, but blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, like, and then they're asking me about, like, writing jokes. It's like, yeah, I take stuff that, I just take different things and put my, like, just talk about it in my perspective.
I just take things I observe and I cover them with jizz.
Pretty much. And I didn't ever say anything about I might be dirty. Because he asked, he's like, is a lot of your stuff dirty? And I think I said, like, not really. Like some,
started with 3 minutes of animal jizz.
I said, some of the concepts, I was like, some of the concepts might be dirty. But I like to take concepts that you think are going to go one way and don't go that way.
That's
like,
how comedy works.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. So, yeah, they were really friendly to me before I went on and then never said a word to me the rest of the night.
I've had a lot of situations where I'm featuring for someone, and then I do really shitty, and then the headliner, and then at the end of the show, everyone files past us, and they all, hey, you did really good to the headliner, and then no one will make eye contact with me. That'll happen.
My,
you were distracted by a text message.
I was, and I'm just like, honestly, it was just, I'm not so much reading the text. It's like, if that would have come any time during playing that, we played that audio from my phone.
Yeah.
That would have fucked up everything. So it's just like impeccable timing from my girlfriend about, it's like she knew exactly. Are you looking at my hot Archer chicks?
Are there daughters?
No, they're Clash of Clans archers.
Oh, it was upside down. I thought it was little girls in costumes. And I thought it was weird you described your daughters as hot.
Hot little sexy archers.
You know, the girlfriends never came to the show next week. They didn't get ready in time.
Next week?
Last week. Valentine's Day.
You're continuing this bit a week later? 2 weeks later?
Well, we didn't resolve it.
It wasn't supposed to be resolved. The whole bit was that we
thought we'd
it.
Bring it up again at the end and say, they're not ready yet.
No, I wasn't.
We kind of forgot about it.
I didn't forget
about
it.
I wanted to end it now. I didn't know what you were doing. So we don't talk to each other about this stuff.
God damn it. We used to have better chemistry.
I don't know what happened.
All right. But yeah, this was... Oh, you're hosting this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Becella Bellaria. It was bad. It was bad, Dave.
It was really bad.
I don't know if it, and this isn't bragging, but I don't know if it quite reached the
heights
of terribleness.
Cried.
No one was escorted from the room in tears.
Percentage-wise, if I were to put together a half hour of stuff, how much of that material is worth salvaging?
20%?
A fifth. Probably the two bits that I like. I like the gay stereotypes and the gay marriage bits. And I like the shower stuff. That's about it. I like the animals fucking, though.
Yeah.
So that's it. I like the wordplay ones, but I just don't really do them anymore. STD, I think, is a great joke.
That is good. Everyone enjoys wordplay. Well, not everyone, but I do.
They
didn't. I think what I meant was I enjoy it.
They didn't. Not everybody. But yeah, that's Becella Bellaria.
I'm hosting. Fuck. That's Becella Bellaria. This is, like, should I plug shit again? I don't know what date this is.
I'll probably put this after. Your DVD taping was probably yesterday.
Okay. It went really well, you guys.
I don't want to try to promote this at the same time as your DVD taping. So I'm glad it went well.
Yeah.
And pushing this back a day actually helped.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't have to, like, promote this. But look for Eric's DVD coming out, The Prince of Youngstown.
Oh, I don't know what the title is yet.
You said yesterday it was The Prince of Youngstown.
I don't know
at
yet.
Your live show, the okay. taping. So that's three episodes this February. That's pretty good.
Hey, and it's a short month.
Yeah. I do want to do... I have an idea. I'll talk to it off air.
Yeah, we don't need to discuss. We got to talk shop now.
But, yeah, so you're hosting this.
Oh, we don't have to talk. So, yeah, that's... I might be at the Funny Farm on March 14th and 15th. Unless... Dave canceled that weekend, and I still haven't asked him. So, maybe. Dave Robich, not Dave Becella. He doesn't run the Funny Farm.
I ain't canceling shit.
Yeah. So, this has been Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave. We should plug the other podcasts.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to on... I don't think we did
we
on
did
the Valentine's
Day. We did the previous several weeks.
Listen
Facts,
to Facts.
Yeah.
You and Mike have been back together for weeks now?
Maybe. Yes.
Yeah. At least a week, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Movies on Up.
Yeah, it's Dave's thing.
We're down to... One episode a week, pretty much now, instead of two. Valentine's Day week, we did two, because hopefully you enjoyed our... I forget what the first episode was, but then we did our favorite Anna Kendrick movie, so that one was fun.
The answer to that one is Rocket Science.
Yes, that's number one.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
It already happened.
It's what introduced me to Anna Kendrick, was that movie, and that's why I'm forever grateful for it.
It's just a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie. There's a cello in your house now.
What?
That's one of my favorite lines out of that movie. Because it's just so subtle. He throws the cello through the window, and they're pulling into the drive as he's walking out. He just says, there's a cello in your house now, and just walks across the street. It's one of my favorite moments of that
it's of a
cinematic
good movie.
History.
I bought that at a Walmart $5 bin, just not knowing what it was about, just picking it up and saying this looked interesting.
Such a good movie.
And I'm glad that I bought it.
I thought that kid was going to be a fucking star, that Daniel Rhys Thompson.
Yeah, has he been in anything else?
He
was good in that.
He did Assassination of a High School President, which was...
He had to fake stutter, and it seemed convincing.
Yeah, he did Assassination of a High School President, which he pretty much played the same kind of role, that awkward, just without the stuttering. And I thought, like, this kid's really good. But then he starred in Prozac Nation, which was...
I'm aware that's a movie that came out.
It was okay in that. And then he was starring in a movie made by some country singer. Buddy Pritchard or something. I don't know.
We were supposed to be wrapping it up, and then we ended up talking about rocket science.
Listen to Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave.
Yeah. Oh, and Laugh Track. Now at laughtrack.com.
Is it?
Yeah, I guess. That's it's my dad and Mike Kalenich and a wacky assortment of guests. I'm on it about every couple of weeks whenever I feel
they've
like
started
going.
Doing these really cool ideas where they're like open mic comedy night episodes.
Yeah.
Where just a bunch of comics doing stand up for each
Which
other.
We're going to steal for a future Eric and Dave because I think Mike had a great idea there. But that's the show, everyone. This has been Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave. I'm Eric.
I'm Dave.
And goodbye.
Until next week.
Goodbye.
We'll see you then.
Who ends it now?
I've been listening to Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave. I'm Eric.
I'm Dave. Dave. No.
And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Poppycock.
Cunt, pussy, fuck.